When you're in a big, big trial, you need to be here. Amen? You need to be here. You need to get built up. You need to trust God. You need to hear God. I cannot tell you how important that one of the main things in the covenant we're going to be looking at all month is about not hardening your heart so you can hear God. Not hardening your heart so you can hear God. And false doctrine hardens your heart. People being disappointed in bitterness, blaming God for what the enemy does, it hardens your heart. Amen? So how many know one of the things we want, how many know it would be so awesome to hear God? Amen. We're all supposed to. It's our covenant right. It's our covenant right to hear God. So he's talking. So we need the Holy Spirit Q-tips to clean out the ears so we can hear him. Amen? Amen. You almost cannot get a victory without getting a real word from God to fight with. Amen? I mean, I'm so excited about God. Amen? We need that word. I cannot tell you enough. I cannot tell you enough how you cannot get a word from somebody else. You have to get it from God. Amen? You have to get it from God. And you have to keep getting it from God. And you have to keep warring with it. And you have to hang on to it. And you have to trust God. And you have to walk in that. There is nothing about this walk with God that doesn't include God. Amen? There's nothing with this walk of God that doesn't include God. Absolutely, positively nothing. Amen? And so whatever you're fighting, I had to read this section on pretended faith. Okay? I am so ready to smack the snot out of pretended faith. Amen? I mean, pretended faith is such an enemy. Pretended faith is thinking because somebody else got victory, you automatically get victory. Or because you got victory before, you got victory. Or because you know God, you're going to get victory. Pretended faith makes you think everything's okay with you doing nothing. Amen? And then when it doesn't happen, why? Because you didn't do anything. Then what do? You blame God. And then what do? They change scripture. They change the character of God. And then we're in this gigantic big mess with a church with very little victory because we need to recognize this covenant that God's given us. Amen? So when the Lord came in a powerful way, I don't know, a few days ago or something, and just was like, whew, he's like, read the book of Hebrews. So I'm like, reading the book of Hebrews. So can I encourage you? If Holy Spirit can come and give me revelation on the book of Hebrews, and then he has me teaching all of you on Hebrews all month, what book of the Bible do you think you ought to read this month? And who should you invite into your reading session? Holy Spirit. And who should you ask to teach you? Yay! And how about if he gives you revelation, you can share it too? Think of the meeting we could have if everybody would open their spiritual ears to hear God and not try to intellectually outdo each other and not try to hyper-spiritualize it, but honest to goodness, hear God. Amen? And then come and reveal that to each other. How much? We'd have to have long meetings, but that would be okay because we'd all be so excited that God revealed that. Oh, that's what I needed. Oh, he revealed that. Oh, that's what I needed. Amen? Because the book of Hebrews is so big and goes into so much different detail, I'm going to try to stick to these notes first and then maybe next month do the rest. We'll see. But Hebrews 1. I'm going to go at 1, but we're actually going to get to 2. But we're just going to do a real fast overview. We're going to be doing Hebrews every time I preach this month, pretty much. Let me just go over I'm just going to kind of go through the whole Hebrews over the next few days. I'm just going to bring it out. Okay, it talks about in many ways and various ways of old, God spoke to the fathers in prophets. In these last days, he spoke to us in the Son, whom he appointed heir of all, through whom he indeed made the ages, who being the shining splendor of his glory, the express image of him, upholding all things by the word of his power, having made purification of our sins through himself, he sat down on the right of majesty on high. Having become so much better than the angel, he has inherited a name more excellent than they. Okay, so he's starting this whole understanding of Hebrews out with a really quick, almost overview. And what he is saying to the people, and Hebrews is really written to the Jewish believer of the day, who understood the covenants, who understood the old covenant. Okay, so we're just going to talk about that a little bit. But we, as nowadays believers, we need to understand the new covenant. They need to understand it too. But we're not going to spend that much time, and it's not really my calling to go that much into history to help you understand the old covenant. But what God is setting up that he needs us to know in Hebrews is, hey, before Jesus Christ, God spoke through prophets, okay? He spoke to the fathers. In other words, he spoke to the believers' ancestors, you know, Abraham and, you know, all these, anybody in the scriptures that was a believer in Jehovah, he spoke to them through other people. He spoke to them through the prophets, okay? And these days, though, he speaks to us through his son. Amen? That's a big difference, okay? That's a big difference in the whole gifting of prophecy now. That's a big difference in the fivefold ministry versus the Old Testament ministry. And a lot of the spirit of error comes out of people not recognizing we are in a new covenant with God, a new agreement with God, okay? So he's talking, he's making that change right now. He goes, in days past, I spoke through prophets, and I directed your fathers, your leaders, through prophets. But now, in these last days, everything that's being spoken is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is appointed the heir of everything, and through whom indeed he made the ages. Jesus has the glory, and he's the exact image of the Father. Amen? When you see Jesus, you see the Father. He upholds all things by the word of his power. Okay? Everything that's being upheld, I'm talking about the universe, all the systems, everything is upheld by the word of God. So don't ever think that God's word isn't powerful. Amen? Just run out of meetings where they act as if there's something to replace his word. Amen? And really start making a noise. We need the word of God. And we need it preached in the anointing. Amen? We need it preached with the heart of God. And that's just going to happen as people get more and more mature and close to God. You'll have more and more of his heart. Amen? All right. So Jesus is the express image. He has glory. It's his word that has power. And he himself made the way for our sins to be forgiven. Amen? He is a purification. He brought us out of an unpure state into a pure state before God. Jesus did all this, okay? And then he himself sat down at the right hand majesty on high. So one of the names for the Father or for God is majesty. Amen? Majesty. So Jesus himself is seated next to majesty, on the throne of majesty, and the all-consuming fire that God is throne that's powerful and mighty, and people can't even look without falling down and screaming holy, and all these wild creatures and all this stuff is going on there. Here you have Jesus sitting right there at the right hand of majesty. Amen? And it says about Jesus, he's better than the angels, and his name is more excellent than any angel. Amen? Okay. And he goes on, he says, to none of the angels did the Father ever say, you are my son, today I've begotten you, and again, I will be a father to him, and he shall be a son to me. All right, Jesus has always been, amen? He's always been. He came out in the book of Colossians. He came out, he spoke the world into beings. He was always, always God. And there came a time in history when he came in to planet Earth in flesh, and he was begotten of the Father. Amen? The Father's seed was placed inside of Mary, and Christ came forth, okay? And he came forth as the Son of Man, all right? And he says, and so he's the Father, and you'll be a son. And again, when he brought the firstborn into the world, he said, okay, that word firstborn, Hebrews 1:6, actually is the first to come forth. That's what firstborn means. So Jesus was the first to come forth from God, amen? He was the first out of this all-consuming fire God wanted to create. God wanted, and he brought forth the image of himself, who's always been there, but now came forth from the Father and began to create. I personally believe it was Jesus, Jehovah, who came forth and walked in the garden with Adam and Eve. I personally believe Jesus is when you see God in a literally bodily form. Amen? All right. He says, and that all the angels of God worship him. He tells us next in Hebrews 1:7, the angels, they are his ministers, a flame of fire. And God's angels are sent to minister to us. Amen? Now, I believe they minister in heaven to God. I believe they're servants of God. Amen? They're messengers from God. But they're also, for those, only those who are born again of the Spirit of God, because we're born again of the Spirit of God in this new covenant, which means God's Spirit lives in us, God's Spirit lives in us, the angels have to submit to God's Spirit in us. Amen? And the angels yield to our prayers and to our power of our words. We need to quit just praying and we need to start taking authority. Amen? We need to speak those things that is we know is in God's word. We know it's the will of God and we need to speak it. We need to, there's life and death in our tongues. So if you're murmuring and complaining and you don't like this or you don't like that or you're upset about marriage, can I just tell you, I mean, I've heard people give up on other people's marriages. I've heard people give up on their own children getting through school and different things. Can we stop that? Quit being carnally minded. Look at how big God is. Look at what an encounter with God could do to change situations. Amen? We need to become people full of hope. We need to speak how big God is and quit speaking our own opinions and attitudes and murmuring and actually cursing the very things that God's called us to have authority to bless. The Bible is so clear. You can't have both going on. Amen? This is part of the covenant. This is part of who we are because God lives inside of us. So these angels, they're looking. If you say, well, I don't know if their marriage can make it, you just release demons against your own situation, against your own marriage, against children, your own children, against your grandchildren. Do you see what I'm saying? This stuff is seriously important. Amen? Can we all get that? Some of you need to put a big thing of tape over your mouth and just put, I'm not talking till I have my heart changed. Please don't put your opinions out there when it concerns me or my children or this church or my finances or my health. Amen? Just shut up in Jesus' name. Amen? Just be quiet. Tell people to be quiet. Correct them in love. You shouldn't talk like that about your own child. You shouldn't talk about that about somebody in this church. You shouldn't talk about that. We need to pray. We need to seriously believe God to turn the situation around. We need to see he's bigger than how we've been hurt or we have bitterness or we feel affected by something. Amen? Can I get an amen? I have watched God bring healing to people that just based on their life and what they were doing, I wouldn't have thought they'd get a healing. Amen? But thank God I'm not God. Let's always be those who believe what we would want somebody to believe for us. Amen? Every time. And when you start talking carnally minded, you start talking in agreement with the enemy, you need to check and see how much time you're spending with God. Maybe get off of Facebook for a while. Maybe turn off HGTV or sports or whatever and start agreeing with God. Amen? Amen. Renew your mind. Get back and renew your mind. And be serious about it. It is horrible for us to release demonic angels to go and hurt things that God wants us to speak life into. If you can't see the life there, then go spend time with God until you see how big he is. Amen? Okay. As to the Son, he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness and scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and you have hated lawlessness. Because of this, God your God has anointed you with the oil of gladness beside your fellows. What he's saying is here, Jesus, because you have totally agreed with the Father, you've totally agreed with the things of the kingdom, even as you walked as a man on the earth and you had the same temptations, the same stuff happening to you, you always agreed with God and you always came against lawlessness. And because of this, you're going to have more joy than anyone else. So can I tell you something? Jesus is not sad, beaten down, depressed. He is joyful. He is full of joy. So when he even walked the earth, he was just full of joy. You know, just full of glory, just full of praising the Father, just full of expectation of awesome things going to happen. Amen? So we need to get our joy back. No wonder when the Lord began the prophetic outpouring, he really did it with people falling out laughing and the joy of the Lord. And Karen and I, we did a deliverance on this woman in the Philippines once, and she had a lot of hate and bitterness, and she was ministering. She used to be a homosexual. She's had a lot of hate in her, and she saw these almost like terrorists these gang members come and kill her grandfather because he wouldn't give them the portion of rice that they were making him give. He didn't owe them anything, but they were just these bullies. And so as a young girl, I think she was 9 or something, she saw them kill her grandfather, who she loved. Her father had left. He wouldn't make claim of her, so her grandfather claimed her, which is very, very important in the Philippines, that you have some man who says you're his. And so anyway, and she literally dragged him up the stairs bleeding. I think he was shot in the head, and watched him die. And so when we went to this meeting, and sometimes I'm like, why are we here, Lord? I mean, it was like vacation. I was told that I was going to be ministering to about 100 pastors. I got there and there was like 20 kids, like vacation Bible school age. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, why am I even here? You know, and I'm praying, and there was no air conditioning, and that was one of the hottest times we've ever been to the Philippines. I mean, it was probably 125 or 30 in that room with no, they didn't have the windows open. It was like sweating like, anyway, and I did have a tad of an attitude, but somehow during that trip, I did hear her testimony. I don't know if it was there or earlier, but and when she was giving it, I thought, oh my gosh, she's so full of bitterness, because when she started sharing, she had that and she thought she was free, but there was so much hurt and bitterness there, and she had hidden it. She was blind to it. So later, she came to our little cottage thing. That was another whole story. And we have stories. And so we started talking. All of a sudden, she starts growling. And, oh, it was just strange. And she was kind of a big lady. And Karen, y'all might, Karen looks all quiet and everything, but you get a devil getting in somebody's face, even in my face. Karen's like, she backed that thing down in Jesus' name. And so anyway, it took us, I don't know, maybe hour, half hour to get this devil out. But she was screaming. We had people all around our little cottage. It was like a campground kind of thing with all this screaming going on and stuff. Anyway, and when we finally got that spirit of murder out of her, that hate and murder out of her, she just, and she never heard of Holy Laughter, okay? She'd never heard of it. She never went to Toronto. She never watched the video. She had no idea about it. And she just burst out laughing. And you're like, wow, she laughed for about an hour, like where her stomach had to hurt. And when she got up, she was completely delivered and healed, completely changed, completely. And she's all over Facebook now with her church. Huh? Yeah, she's ministering and she's got a church and just amazing. But she was trying to minister with all that bitterness and didn't know it was even there. And so here God set this whole scenario up, not what I was thinking. Can we just know that? He never does what I'm thinking, so don't even ask me what I'm thinking, because it'll just confuse everything. But anyway, and I'm just amazed at how powerful and loving, you know, he is. And I don't know how I got to that from this, but somehow I did. Anyway, so let's go on. He says here, to the Son, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. You have a scepter of righteousness, a scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated lostness. Okay, some people, I believe, have taken this that his a kingdom goes forever and ever, and they have come up with a dominating theory that we're going to take over the world and then Christ can come back. And I honestly cannot believe that based on what Jesus says in Thessalonians, based on what the book of Revelation says, based on what Daniel says and Isaiah says. I just really don't see that doctrine from that scripture. I don't see the doctrine in the word. Amen. I do know this. Every day somebody else is saved. Every day his kingdom is growing. Every day someone else is saying yes to God. Amen. And that will never stop until he says this season's over. Amen. And then who knows what's next? We don't know. It's going to be amazing forever and ever. Forever and ever, we're going to be on adventures and journey with God. Amen. It's just going to be, thank God we'll have glorified bodies, and thank God. No wonder we have to go in the throne room and just lay there yelling, holy, holy, holy. We're going to need to be, God, you know. I just can't even imagine all the awesome things he has for us for eternity. Amen. So for this little time to stand up for him, this little time to live for him, this little time to let him change us and be real in our life and come into this covenant with him. Amen. What an absolutely awesome, awesome salvation we have. Amen. It's just an awesome salvation. So let's really walk in it and see what he's calling us to.